Everyone, can you all hear me okay?
Excellent, good. What an absolute treat to be with you today. It's just been very good for my heart to see God at work amongst you. And if you don't know who I am, I'm Martin. I'm based in Canterbury at the City Church, and I kind of lead the eldership team at the church. I also have the joy of being what's called a community leader within Relational Mission. So I still get to be connected in to this beautiful people, and to see what God is doing in you at the moment is just genuinely really heartwarming and encouraging. I think in the midst of crazy days, well done for continuing to prioritize meeting together, continuing to prioritize encouraging one another. Just hearing testimonies this morning, scriptures read out, prayers being prayed, it's just so good to see, and it's brilliant to be with you. And yeah, as Lucy said, I'm going to be continuing this series you're doing at the moment called A Song for Every Season. And I do think the Psalms is such a good place to go. And this morning I'm going to be talking about dealing with doubt and disappointment. And I don't know about you, but I think it's fair to say that for all of us in our lives, there are lots of things that are causing us to doubt and lots of things that are causing us to feel disappointment. I just think when I think of our culture and just life in general at the moment, obviously the coronavirus and the impact that that's had for, you know, almost a year now, we have found that we've had to endure restrictions, not being able to meet in person. I know that you guys were able to start some momentum of meeting back in the kind of September time and the autumn term, which I know, talking to Jeff, was a great joy and delight. And so I'm sure the disappointment of then the lockdown and not being able to do that again, really starting to take its toll. Obviously, it's also brought disappointments for us personally in terms of for different ways in our lives, whether that be the relational disappointments of not being able to be with those we love and the challenge over Christmas and just over this last year. Perhaps for you, financial, you know, regards to work, just in all of our lives right now, I think it's fair to say that disappointment is something that we are tasting. And probably in terms of the challenges and the dynamics that kind of the world is bringing towards us, that tension of doubt as well starting to slip in, doubting God's plans and God's purposes, doubting God's goodness and God's faithfulness, doubting God's trustworthiness. All of these things would have come into our lives in different ways. I think for us personally in the Segal household, we have definitely faced, the last year has definitely been the toughest year that we've ever faced in our lives. It was just over a year ago, my wife Catherine was diagnosed with breast cancer. About 6 months before that, my dad had passed away. And that then the coronavirus hit, and then I had something over the summer. I'd been having some kind of stomach issues and ended up at A&E and was kind of had an emergency operation. I had something called intussusception of the bowel, which is where like my bowel was kind of swallowing itself and had to have emergency. So it's been a bit of a bonkers old year for us in many ways in what we were facing. And so getting to talk on this topic is actually one that has been really good for my soul to reflect and to contemplate and to consider. And I hope that just as you've encouraged me this morning, that I will be able to encourage you. And so we're into Psalm 13. So if you've got your Bibles, why not open them there to Psalm 13? And I love this psalm. When Jeff messaged me to say, would I speak on a psalm and I could choose in the topic, I was like, this psalm for me is one that I often do go to. It's a real comfort for me. And C.H. Spurgeon, who's a great Christian writer, if you've never read or listened to any of his preaches, he is brilliant. He lived a long time ago, but his writings are phenomenal. And he talks about the Psalms. And one of the things he says about the Psalms, which I love, is he says, David often starts with a sigh and ends with a song. David often starts with a sigh and ends with a song. And that's what we're going to see actually through Psalm 13, is it starts with a sigh that I think we'll all be able to kind of resonate with and connect with. And it ends with a song that I also believe we'll all be able to connect with and resonate with. And I almost want to take us on the journey this morning, looking at Psalm 13 and looking at three things, really: the sigh of the heart, the stirring of faith, and then the song of the saved. And that's the journey that David takes us on in this psalm. And so in Psalm 13, we know it's written by David because at the start, just, it's, you know, there's a, in my Bible, there's a little title called How Long, O Lord. And then underneath that, it says to the choir master, a psalm of David. So we know that David wrote it. We know who David was. He was the king of Israel at this time. You can find his story in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. And we see in there that he was one who went through lots of adversity in his life, lots of challenges. He would have faced many things that would have caused him to doubt. He would have faced many disappointments in his life, loved ones betraying him and turning their back on him, him having to run and abandon, live his life on the run for a while, fearful for his own life. What's really interesting is that with Psalm 13, we don't actually know what's going on in his life in this moment where he writes it. Doesn't tell us. Often at other points, it tells us the connecting moment in his life and where he was writing it. With this one, we don't know. And I actually really like that, because I think what it tells us is that no matter what moment you're facing in your life, this psalm is relevant for you and I. That actually we can come back to this in all different walks. And so I just want to read it, and then I just want to unpack a few things. So let's read this together. It says, Psalm 1, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I've prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And actually, some of the testimonies and encouragements that have come so far this morning really beautifully summarize this journey that David walks in Psalm 13, and that I hope that we will walk together as well. And so let's start by looking at verses 1 and 2 and the sigh of the heart. We see that this sigh can be summarized by this phrase, how long? David uses that 4 times in just those 2 verses. How long, O Lord? And I don't know about you, but I've definitely prayed that prayer in this last season. God, how long am I going to not be able to be with the church in person? How long until I can see my friends and socialize with my friends? How long before my children can go back to school? How long before? We would have asked that question multiple times over this last season. David is crying out. He's saying, God, how long? And what I love first and foremost about the scriptures is that God allows, permits, encourages, and includes the sighs of the heart, the frustrations, the fears, the worries, the anxieties. They're not pushed to one side. God's showing us here that we can be those that come and bring our doubts and our disappointments towards him. What we see is that David begins by being real about the challenges. Can I say this, church? For you to truly encourage one another, and for you to truly have an impact in Whitstable and beyond for Jesus, what we need to grow in is being authentic about what is going on in our lives. I don't believe that actually we are a good witness if when we're going through difficulties, all those around us never see the struggles, the doubts, the disappointments that we're facing. I don't believe that that actually ministers to people. I don't think that witnesses to people about the goodness of God. I think what does is similar to what David's doing here, is being real about the disappointments and the doubts, being genuine about the challenges and the problems, but in the midst of it, clinging on to hope. When Catherine went through her cancer journey, the number of people that reached out to her to say that actually by her sharing the challenge that she was going through, the fears that were in her heart, how that greatly encouraged them and strengthened them. And I just want to encourage you. That's what David models for us here. That's what God affirms. Be real about the size of your heart. Don't hide them. Don't push them to one side. And really, we see David kind of has 3 key questions, or the doubts and disappointments that he's going through in his life raise 3 key things. The first is that actually it leaves him feeling abandoned. We see these cries at the start. He says, God, how long will you forget me forever? It's almost like the extreme case that he's facing in this moment, the difficulties he's facing. He feels as though God has forgotten him. He feels as though God has abandoned him. And I wonder if you've ever journeyed through a moment in life that's made you feel like that, where the pain and the sorrow and the hurt and the anguish, you just can't seem to see God. You can't seem to find God in the midst of the challenges you're facing. David went through that. Dealing with your doubts and disappointments is bringing that to God and saying, God, I can't see you. He says, how long will you hide your face from me? He's been real about the fact that in the midst of this circumstance and this challenge, it's making me feel like, God, you're not there with me. And although we'll come in a moment to the fact that that's not true, God is with us through everything, I do think it's important that David is permitted to say that to God. God is big enough to handle your complaints, your fears, your worries, your anxieties. He's never offended by the prayers that we pray. And so I just want to encourage you in the midst, particularly in this season, but ongoingly, whatever you're facing, if you're feeling abandoned, bring that to the Lord. Be real about that and the challenges that you're facing. We see he goes on and he says, not just abandoned, but you can be left feeling alone. He goes on to say, how long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day? It's almost like this picture here of David's going through trouble. And the only place he can go to seek for support and wisdom is in himself. He's kind of counseling himself. He's talking over and over the challenge and the difficulty that he's facing that's causing him to doubt and feel disappointed. Now, we all do this. How many of us have struggled in moments of stress and anxiety and worry to get to sleep because we're just running around in our heads the challenge that we're facing and the different ways that this could outwork and the different things we could try to do? And how many of us realize that actually that is a fruitless task? It never helps. It never helps. It's not like you wake up the next day and you're like, well, I feel fine now. I've solved that problem. You just keep on reliving these issues and these difficulties. That's where David is in this moment. He's kind of saying, I am counseling myself in my own soul, and I'm carrying sorrow around in my heart all day. This is the situation he finds himself in, which, again, I'm sure many of us can resonate with right now and how we're feeling. And then finally, we can be left feeling angry. He says at the end of verse 2, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? It's almost like salt to the wound. He sat there and he's saying, God, I feel abandoned. I feel like you've forgotten me and you've hidden your face. I feel alone as I'm bringing counsel to myself and carrying sorrow in my heart all day. Not only that, but those that are causing me the pain seem to be flourishing. He's angry about this. God wants us to bring that that makes us angry towards him. Don't feel like you can't come to God angry. Now, obviously, God is the holy, perfect, powerful God. We must keep that in mind. But he is also our Father. I invite my children to come towards me when they're angry. I don't presume, don't come to me angry. I say, no, come and talk to me about this. Now, obviously, sometimes I have to correct the way they speak to me, but it's always done in a heart of love. We see, I want to start by saying this, the sigh of the heart, whatever is causing you to sigh today, whatever is causing you to feel abandoned, alone, or angry, the first way we deal with that is by bringing it to God, is by recognizing how we feel. I wonder, how good are we at recognizing how we feel? Do you stop and ask yourself, how am I feeling today? And not just stop there, but then ask yourself, why am I feeling that today? I've woken, I'm feeling anxious today. Do you spot that in your own heart? And then do you ask yourself, why? What's causing me to feel that anxiety? I'd really encourage you. It's a very helpful exercise to do. I often find I get an email and it just seems to like make me angry. I'm like, oh, what am I feeling? Oh, I'm feeling angry right now about that. Why am I feeling it? And actually, it's a very helpful journey to go through before you reply. Otherwise, you get yourself into a bit of trouble. That kind of journey, God wants us to grow in. So the first thing we see is the sigh of the heart. But then this is where we see this psalm gently lift us from a place of feeling abandoned, alone and angry. We see the beginnings, the stirrings of faith going on in the life of David in verses 3 and 4. He starts by saying, consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. I love this. He's just said, God, how long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And then in verse 3, he says, consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. God is a God who hears our prayers and answers our prayers. And that never changes. No matter what circumstance you are facing, no matter how difficult the challenge you are walking through, the truth of who our God is does not change because of our circumstances. And David seems to recognize that. The stirring of faith is about him firstly lifting his head towards God and looking away from his circumstances and looking to the truth of who God is. The worst thing we can do, friends, is stay looking at our circumstances and the challenges. The worst thing we can do is stay just listening to the sigh of our hearts. We need to allow the stirring of faith to occur. And the first way that happens is by reminding ourselves that our God is a God who hears and answers prayers. He genuinely cares about you. He genuinely hears your prayers. He genuinely knows what's going on in your life. And he does answer. It's the hope of Christianity. That we don't pray to a made up God in the sky. We don't pray to a God that died on the cross and just stayed there. We pray to a God who is risen, who is ascended, who is alive, who has sent his spirit to be at work in us. Today, the stirrings of faith, consider that God hears and answers your prayers. Remind yourselves of that. proclaim that. Those sighs of the heart, don't just let them be you talking to yourself and falling into self-pity or a victim mentality. Use those as prayers to God. God, I'm coming to you, the powerful one who hears and answers me. He goes on and he says, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. The stirrings of faith is saying, God, would you illuminate to me? Would you bring revelation to me about who you are? God, would you help me to awaken to the things of God? Don't let me just sleep the sleep of death. Don't let me just the journey of this circumstance and of these troubles rob me of faith and of life and of joy found in you. Reveal to me how you're at work in my life. You know, this morning before I joined you, I did kind of the kids work with our kids here at home, and our City Kids team are kind of journeying through God's big story. And today we were looking at the story of Joseph. And it just struck me how throughout the story of Joseph, he needed the illumination of the Spirit to see God at work. When he'd been, sold into slavery by his brothers, how must he have felt in that moment? When he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison, how must he have felt in that moment? When he's forgotten by the cupbearer, who he's kind of interpreted the dream, and he's been left rotting in prison for years, how must he have felt? Throughout those moments, you feel like he needed to cling to this revelation of God is at work even when we can't see it, that God has plans and purposes even when we don't feel it. And I want to encourage you this morning, pray prayers when you're going through seasons of doubt and disappointment. Ask God to bring revelation of how he is at work in your life. Ask God to show you the blessings, because there's always blessings. I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned over the last few years is that in life we will walk joy and sorrow at the same time. We will face blessings and challenges at the same time. I think many of us expect that we'll go through seasons of difficulty and then we'll go through seasons of blessing. Often they come hand in hand. And so we need to be able to see God at work in every moment that's going on. He then says, lest my enemy say, this is verse 4, I've prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken. The stirring of faith is a reminder that God's plans and purposes over our lives are good. God, God doesn't set us up to fail. God doesn't lead us to one point and then just be like, see, like, I can't handle this anymore. I'm out of here. God is always with us. God is always faithful. And actually, we know in Jesus, the end story for us is one of victory. Actually, for us, the story that we're going to be celebrating for all of eternity is that we have a God who doesn't just hear and answer our prayers, but who has intervened and has taken us out of the pit and set us on solid ground, who has brought a hope into our lives that means that today, the hope of eternity can crash in. If you are at the point where perhaps you've come in this morning because you come to church, and if you didn't come, someone would kind of contact you and you're like, oh, I don't want to have those kind of difficult questions. So you've just come and your heart is cold and the pain of what you're walking through and the frustrations and the disappointments are just making you lethargic. This morning, I want to encourage you, fix your eyes on the hope of eternity that Jesus Christ has won for us. Allow that to crash into your today and to shape it so that we can be those who know God's not going to leave us to let our enemies celebrate and to rejoice and be victorious. Jesus has defeated the greatest enemy of sin and death. And so we know that our end story is found in Jesus's victory. And so we can be confident in that. This morning, I want to pray that you would feel the stirring of faith in your heart, that the sigh would turn into a song. And that's what we see happen in the final two verses. We see in verses 5 and 6, David then just suddenly bursts into song. It's almost like, this is really hard. God, I feel abandoned. I feel alone. I feel angry. Then suddenly there's this stirring of faith as he remembers who God is and he looks to him and away from his circumstance. And then the whole countenance of David changes, verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Three things just very quickly on this. I've trusted in your steadfast love. God's love doesn't change. God's love is steadfast. God's love is consistent. God's love is unchanging and unfading, never stopping. It is relentless towards you and I. God's love for us. The Father delights over us and we can trust in his steadfast love. Sometimes circumstance tries to tell us that God doesn't love us. Sometimes difficulty and challenges try to tell us that God has forgotten us. Listen, God has not forgotten you. God cannot forget his children. We see that throughout scripture, God is faithful towards you and I. Spurgeon says this, a hidden face is no sign of a forgetful heart. Just because you feel like God's hidden his face from you today, or you feel like God's forgotten you, doesn't mean he has. God is faithful towards you and I. Jesus' promise to us is, I will never leave nor forsake you. And so I want to encourage you. I want to remind you this morning to trust in the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Romans 8 tells us we can be confident and secure in the love of God today. Place your trust again. Remind yourself that God is steadfast in his love. Secondly, rejoice in his salvation. The fact that you're here today, and if you call yourself a Christian, that you call yourself a Christian, has nothing to do with us. We're not Christians because we passed God's holy test. We're Christians because God chose us, God saved us, and God drew us into his family. It's his salvation that he has gifted us. We've been reminded of that this morning already. Jim, reading out Ephesians 1, what a great reminder that actually, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Rejoice in his salvation this morning. Remind yourself that you are safe and secure in the hand of God. Why? Because God holds you, not because you hold him. The image that we often hold is that kind of our walk with God is dependent on how tight we hold onto his hand. Change that picture today. Our confidence is found in how tightly God holds our hand, not on how tightly we hold his. He will never let you go. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. Trust in God's love, in God's promise, and in God's salvation today. And then I love this. It ends by saying, I'll sing to the Lord. Why? Because he has dealt bountifully with me. The journey that David walks, I think sometimes when I read this, I think that it's like he's in a really rubbish situation. And then at the end of the psalm, it's all gone good. And so he says those things, you know. So I don't know. Let's say, for example, you're in a financial difficult situation. Well, then you'll be crying out, God, how long? How long, oh God, will you forget me? How long will you hide your face? Then suddenly you get a check through the post for whatever and it pays off your debt. And then suddenly you're like, woo! And you end, but I'll sing to the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me. That's not what's happened. David is still in the difficult situation at the end of the psalm. The situation hasn't changed. It's his perspective that's changed. It's that sigh has turned into a song as faith has stirred in his heart. And that's what God wants to do today. We don't know how much longer coronavirus is going to dominate the way we live our lives. We don't know how much longer restrictions are going to be at play. We don't know how long that sickness that's been at play in your household, in your life, in loved ones is going to carry on. We don't know how long these challenges that are causing us to feel doubt and disappointment will continue. But what we do know is that in the midst of it, God has dealt bountifully with us. How do we know? We look to the cross. We look to the cross. That reminds us that Jesus gave himself, that Jesus, he who knew no sin, became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. That at the cross, we see a God who's dealt bountifully with us. Where we deserve death, he gave us life. Where we deserve judgment, he gave us forgiveness. We look to the cross and we see a God that says, I am for you, I love you, and there's nothing you need to do to persuade me to love you. I am consistently loving you. Look to the empty tomb. Look and see there that God has dealt bountifully with us, because just as Jesus rose from death, it says that in scripture, so we have been resurrected. That's when we committed our lives to Christ, when Christ saved us, we died to our old self and we were rose again in Christ. We are now a new creation. Remember that God has dealt bountifully with you. Through the resurrection of Jesus, we can know hope, not just today, but for all of eternity. Look to Pentecost and remember a God who has poured out the Spirit. We don't just have a God who is for us or who is with us, but we have a God who is in us, at work in our lives. God who's pouring out his grace, his love, his mercy, his affection towards you day upon day upon day. And so we can sing to the Lord. And I want to encourage you, in the midst of the challenge, in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the sorrow, bring those to God. Be real with him. Be authentic with the Father, be authentic with one another, but don't stay there. Allow faith to stir in your heart. Remind yourself that we have a God who hears and answers our prayers. We have a God who cares and is interested. And let's trust in his steadfast love, rejoice in his salvation, and sing to him because he is, and he will deal bountifully with us. Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for who you are. Lord, I thank you that you are a God that cares. You're a God that loves. You're a God that's committed to us. And Lord, I just want to pray for every person on this call. Lord, you know what's going on in our lives. Lord, you know the doubts and the disappointments in our hearts. You know the fears and the anxieties and the worries, the frustrations and the concerns. You know, God, that cry in our heart of how long. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us faith, firstly, to bring those to you. God, secondly, to know faith that, God, you hear us and you answer us. And also, Lord God, that we would be those that reminded ourselves today that our lives are built on the foundation of Christ, the one who is steadfast, the one who has saved, and the one who deals bountifully with us. Would we know your goodness today, I pray, Lord, in the midst of all that's going on. Amen.
I've been keeping a document, a booklet together called The Song for Every Season. And I've been fascinated by actually writing the sermons up and thinking about them and then turning them into small group notes. And what's coming loud and clear through this series is that God has got a song for every single one of us. That's what was said last week. And then Martin beautifully shows us how to move from sighing to singing. And I don't know if he's listened to the series or whatever, but I do believe that God is saying, I've got a song for every single one of you. And I love what Sarah shared, which was put it into practice. Don't stop putting it into practice. And I just really worried sometimes that we can be consumers. We can be like TV watchers. That actually this is not what the church is about, that we have a sermon like this and God is saying, I want to teach you, I want to equip you, I want to move you from sighs to songs, but you've got to put this into practice. And I just wanted to encourage you that that's what the Holy Spirit is communicating every week so far, is I've got a song for you. And I'm not just saying you should sing, I'm showing you through these skillful preachers, I'm showing you how to sing in your current situation. So I just wanted to, you know, just to, if you like, just try and listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying through this series. And we've got to put this into practice. Let's start singing.
Yeah, Mike, I just want to kind of off the back of that, I'm conscious of time, but just really felt stirred that this week, I just wanted to say, firstly, thank you, Mike, for your encouragement last week for us to complete that sentence. Like, if God is this, then I will this. And for me, this week, there was a situation at work that was troubling me, that was stressing me. I didn't know how to resolve it. And for me, what helped me was going to some of the Psalms. God reminded me of Psalm 37 that talked about trusting in the Lord. And I was thinking, well, if God is faithful, I know he's been faithful before in my life. I know he's been faithful throughout generations. I can trust him to be faithful in this situation. And I had to do it, like you said, it is a choice to develop those pathways you were talking about. Actually, it doesn't just happen, you know, it's a repetitive thing. But I just found that really practical example you gave us last week, I had to put that into action this week. And praise God, there has been some resolution, but actually in the waiting, God challenged me, because it says there, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. So for me, it was about choosing to trust him and then choosing to wait on him before the answer came. But Mike, your encouragement last week equipped me to have a way of dealing with that situation and a way of choosing to trust in him and not get distracted by trying to solve it in my own head. So I hope that kind of just an example. And just as I say, thank you, Mike, for giving us an example and giving us a way to do that. And I don't know about you. I know that God teaches me things again and again and again, but you know, I can really honestly say that God has done that work for me this week. So I just wanted to share.
Thanks, Lou. Thanks, Mike. And that's just like a real great practical testimony of what God is doing. And I think, I don't know about you guys, but I had a go at kind of sitting and writing down, God is this, so I am. And if you haven't had a go at doing that, do it as part of your quiet time this week. Encourage yourself to just, and almost challenge yourself, actually, Lord, cause worship to bubble up in me. Help me to consider who you are. You are great. And actually, what does that impact on my life? What does that mean for me? And it just brings worship to God. What a great time together. I just very briefly also just wanted to encourage us. I had a little moment last night. We've enjoyed having the log burner going in the cold. And then I looked up at it and I thought, it had just gone down into like a little glow. And as I approached it to try and sort it out and get the flames going, I just sort of said to it, it's not good enough for you to glow. And as I said it, I thought, oh, the Holy Spirit convicted me. You know, it's not good enough for me just to glow. Actually, to be showing God at work in my life, I want to be a light. Like I want my log burner to flame. It's supposed to be a burner. It's supposed to burn the wood and give a lovely flame and a lovely heat. Actually, what did it take to get that flame going? Just open the little slot to allow the air to come up and cause that fire to burn. And what's the air in our lives? It's the air of the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit. And I just was reminded just now as I was kind of mulling over whether to share this, I read a book by Julian Adams. He speaks about the Holy Spirit so beautifully. And one of the things that really stood out to me that just popped in my mind was actually so often we pray, you know, more of you, Holy Spirit. But actually, he suggests we turn that round and challenge ourselves, how much of me can I give the Holy Spirit? Because actually, when I opened that vent, there was loads of air. The air is there. The Holy Spirit is there. You know, we want to say to God, actually, how much of my life can I give you? And it's a personal challenge to me. I wasn't sure whether to share it, but, you know, I felt convicted, you know, that I was maybe just glowing and actually, you know, God saying it's not good enough to glow. Actually, I feel the challenge to draw near to God and just really say to him, Lord, how much of myself can I give you?